Vous êtes avec SBS French. Retrouvez les rubriques sur sbs.com.au/french.
Radio SBS, en ligne et sur votre smartphone.
The pleasure of welcoming on SBS French, Suzanne Faulkner. Hello and welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you.
And you're a writer, historian, and you've recently released your new book, Rose, the story of Rose de Freycinet, published by ABC Books. Perhaps for our Francophone and Francophile listeners, tell us a bit more about Rose de Freycinet and how you came to write about her story.
Well, I suppose the most important thing about her is that she was the first woman to circumnavigate the world and leave a written account of her journey. And as in the 17th, 18th, 19th centuries, almost all these voyages of circumnavigation were done by men and reported on by men. So we have this very this completely unique view of a voyage around the world, visiting dozens of countries, including Australia, entirely from the point of view of a woman.
And have you, since writing that story, been intrigued by the history of French explorers in the Pacific, in our region, in the 19th and 20th century?
Well, I've always been slightly interested because compared to the English, they had a very humanist view. They were interested in science. They were interested in anthropology. They were interested in natural history. Whereas a lot of the English navigators were trying to expand their territory. I'll probably get into trouble for saying this, but that's one point.
And tell us, was it easy to have access material about Rose de Freycinet?
Well, no, it wasn't, strangely enough, because there's always been a bit of a fascination about the Louis de Freycinet, of course, as you know, was the first cartographer to publish a full map of the Australian coastline. I mean, obviously, it had been mapped before. But as Matthew Flinders was imprisoned in Mauritius, he had also drawn a complete map. But Louis, Rose's husband, was the first to be able to publish one. This is of course, known as the Freycinet map. So that's quite famous as well.
So Rose, as you mentioned, was the first woman to write a journal of a voyage. But there are, I think, other examples of women in history like her who were disguised on a ship. I can remember reading about Jeanne Barret with the Bougainville expedition. I think it was between 1767 and 1769.
Yes. There were several. There was at least one other as well who's with Bougainville. And probably Rose wasn't the first European woman to land on the coast of Western Australia either. That may have been one of the Dutch women from the wreck of the Batavia. But as I said, her unique position is that she was the first to write about it because the others were largely illiterate.
And how did Rose kind of get away with being on the ship without anyone knowing what was going on? I mean, there wasn't too much of a scandal about her being on the ship and travelling with her husband. It was, I think, in Cape Town, long after the expedition had set sail, that they found out. But the rumours had started in Gibraltar.
Well, there was a huge scandal in France, but of course by that stage the ship had left and was out of French territorial waters, and there wasn't much they could do about it. Rose went back to her position as the captain's wife within days of the ship leaving Toulon. The officers were invited into the captain's cabin, and she served them tea to let them know that she was there. The rest of the crew, I mean, there were 120 men on this ship, and this was a ship of, only a little bit longer than a tennis court. So, and she was, of course, the only woman, and women were often regarded as bad luck on ships. So the fact that the crew accepted her is also quite unusual. But she was restricted to a very small area of the ship. I mean, she couldn't go into the forecastle where all the men slept. So she had a small poop deck and the cabin, and she pretty much was restricted to that area.
So what did she do, write her journal?
She was very well educated. She was the daughter of a widowed schoolteacher. She was very well read. She had a smattering of several languages. She was musical. While she was on the ship, she taught herself to play the guitar so she could accompany Louis when he sang. He apparently had quite a nice voice, and the officers used to enjoy sitting some distance away listening to the two of them singing and playing. So there was that. She did a lot of sewing. She kept her journal. She wrote letters on her husband's behalf when he was too busy. She read about all the countries that they were approaching. But she also had certain duties that Louis entrusted to her during the voyage. Louis had a chef, a cook, to serve the captain's table, and his own provisions separate from the main mess. I mean, there were three messes. There were the officers' mess and the sailors' mess. But she took charge of provisions and allotting them to the chef and planning the meals. And even on shore, she took charge of buying new supplies for their own larder. So she was kept quite busy.
Let's talk about the stopovers. In Brazil, she's in a state of shock about slavery and the treatment of slaves. And then also she arrives in Mauritius, where the slaves there were treated with more compassion.
Well, at least she wanted to believe that. I think it was probably true. But she was probably quite horrified by slavery in Brazil. But then, of course, when she landed in Mauritius and discovered that slavery was also a practice of her own countrymen, she became a little more mollified about it. In France, Napoleon had reintroduced slavery, but it restricted it in France itself in the interests of racial purity. So a lot of French were not really aware that in their colonies or their territories that slavery was a very widespread practice.
Your reference in Mauritius to the story of Paul and Virginie by Bernardin de Saint-Pierre, I was really impressed by that. I mean, of course, it's not a real story, we should note, but you actually pointed that out in your book.
Well, a lot of the more educated officers and the ship's artists were very interested in this story and were looking forward to visiting all the places that they thought were the sites of a true story. So on asking around and I think they were quite disappointed that it was largely fictional.
And in the book, you also mention the heartbreaking story of her missing a sister by one day. The sister arrives in Mauritius, and the ship and the Uranie had left the country one day before.
Yes, yes. Their mother, who had been running a successful boarding school for young ladies who came to Paris to learn French and learn correct etiquette, had come upon hard times, and she'd retreated to a convent. She was a very pious woman, as was Rose herself. And with no money, Rose's sister, Stephanie, she was forced to go out and get a job as a governess. And because they had connections in Mauritius, it was arranged that she would go to her family there. And by a strange coincidence, the ship that she arrived on came the day after Louis' ship, the Uranie, had left. So when Rose received a letter from another ship, she thought it had come from Paris, and then she discovered that it had come from Mauritius, and her only sister had arrived the day after they'd sailed away. So she was heartbroken.
Tell us about her stay in Port Jackson. I think it's around September, November 1819. What were impressions of Sydney? Somewhere I've read that when she was writing a journal, I think several pages were lost in the Falklands when there was a shipwreck of the Uranie.
Yes, that's a bit of a mystery. She did suffer from migraine headaches, and there are gaps in her journal when she felt too unwell to write. But there appears to be a whole section missing. And I don't know whether this is because somebody decided that she'd written some indiscreet things, or whether it just got lost, or whether this section got damaged, as you say, in the shipwreck. But there is a gap. But fortunately, she was still writing to her mother and sending the letters off from every post where there might be a ship heading back to Europe. So we're able to fill in the gap a bit with her letters to her mother, which Louis later transcribed. So it's not a total loss, but it's an interesting mystery as to what happened to that section. But going on to the stay in Sydney, she enjoyed Sydney hugely. She wrote that it was her favourite stopover of the whole voyage, and she made friends. She met the White Jane, the wife of Baron Field, who spoke very good French. She met John MacArthur, Captain Piper, Governor Macquarie, all the best society in Sydney, who were very keen to entertain her because she was, you know, she was a beautiful woman and she was a novelty, and I think they were all a little bit bored with their own society at that point. But as against that, the first night she spent ashore, which was in a house in the rocks, which is an area near the harbour, which was a bit disreputable in those days. A lot of convicts and freed convicts lived there. They went to sleep on the upper floor, and a thief crept in and stole all their crested silver tableware and their servants' clothing and some of their own clothing. And next morning, when they discovered that they'd been robbed, they actually had to send out to buy new cutlery so they could have their lunch.
And when the couple went back to France, they did not enjoy good health. Was it a result of being away at sea for such a long period?
No, not in this case. Rose died quite young, but it was during the cholera epidemic in Paris of 1832. Louis contracted cholera, as a lot of people in Paris did in that year. And Rose helped to nurse him back to health, along with one of the ship's medical officers who'd remained a close friend of theirs. But she contracted it herself. And as she was in bad health due to various stomach problems that she'd had, and she was in a weakened state, she contracted it and died within 3 days. And Louis was heartbroken. And a lot of his friends believe that his own premature death, which was, I don't know, about 10 years later, was due to his grief at losing Rose.
I've read also somewhere that Rose mentions that on that journey she has no regrets, like that song made famous by Edith Piaf.
Je ne regrette rien. Mm. Yes, she does say somewhere that while she might have risked the condemnation of the world, because, of course, they'd broken naval law. She could have ruined her husband's career by doing this. But they were both so much in love that they just didn't want to be parted. And Louis was a very punctilious naval officer. He was very loyal to the Navy. He always obeyed the rules, but he did this extraordinary thing of going completely against naval regulations and smuggling his wife on board because he couldn't bear to be parted from her. So it's a very romantic story.
Thank you so much for coming on to SBS French and speaking about your book, Rose, the story of Rose de Fraissinet, published, I remind the listeners, by ABC Books. Thank you so much.
It was a great pleasure.
Vous êtes avec Radio SBS.
Vous voulez entendre d'autres rubriques comme celle-ci? Écoutez-les sur Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify ou n'importe où vous obtenez vos podcasts.